I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to another episode of The Close Up. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, and today we have a really fun episode today. We have Philip Rossman Wright with Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic joining the show, where we just kind of like take an overview of the season so far as we're 20 games into it. We take some observations of what we are seeing now versus like some expectations, how they have shifted from coming into, you know, training camp and this offseason into where we're at today, because this team is awesome. I mean, like, dude, we're tied for second in the East. We are 14-6. It's a fun time to be a Magic fan. This show is presented by Orlando Magic HQ, the boys, the crew. Please head over there to all of your Magic content needs. We have post-game write-ups, we have video content. There's obviously podcast content with this show and the Orlando Magic HQ show with Al and Anthony. It's never a dull moment over at the HQ. So make sure you check us out, give us a subscribe. And, you know, we have this really cool new program on Instagram going on. So we used to have a Patreon program. We have stopped the Patreon program and we have now started a subscription program with Orlando Magic HQ. I don't want to mess this up, so give me just one moment as I pull up all the benefits and whatnot. So it's a $5 a month program, right? And basically what you get for $5 a month is you get – sorry. So not only – you're going to get exclusive posts, right? You're going to get stories and exclusive posts just for you guys. There's going to be monthly live Q&As. You get 20% off select home games. So if you want to get discounted tickets, you can get 20% off just by paying $5 a month towards us. We can get you those hookups. You know, there's going to be custom graphics made just for this program. But right now, and a members only group chat on Instagram, which has been really fun and successful already. But the coolest thing too is right now we're giving it away a Orlando Magic City Edition starters jacket. It's sick. This contest is running through the end of the month. All you have to do is sign up, be a subscriber of the program, which again already gets you some really cool benefits, but it's going to give you an exclusive giveaway. The like I said, the Orlando Magic City Edition starters jacket, which is valued at over $150, which is pretty dope. And then also there's going to be 5 Orlando Magic HQ hats that get distributed through the giveaway as well, which is really cool. So check that out. We'd love all the support that you could give us there. And we're definitely doing our best to give back to you guys within that program. Before we get to the interview with Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily, this podcast episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The holiday season is off and rolling with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting midseason form. Bet Online is your number one destination for all your sport wagering information. If you want to bet on some sports and you kind of want to know like what parlays are looking at, or you know what the over unders are and things like that, just go to Bet Online. With up to the 1 minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, Bet Online is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four. Bet Online has information at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that's played, from MMA to international soccer. I think they even have pickleball betting. Don't quote me on that, but it's possible because they have just about everything. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your initial deposit welcome bonus. So BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Thanks for tuning into this episode. Make sure you give Philip Rossman-Reich a follow. Make sure you subscribe to his kick-ass Patreon program, which we get into at the end of this conversation. And last but not least, let's go Magic. Like I said, everyone, we got Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic. Philip, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining the show. It's been a little while. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, Stephen. Always great to chat with you. I was going to say chop it up, but I don't think I'm cool enough to say that. But it's always great to hang out with you, man.
Yeah. We've been doing this for a while now, and not just talking on podcasts, but like in each other's text messages and DMs, randomly talking about the team and the sport as well. We're here today on Monday, December 4th. The Magic are on like a 3 or 4 day of like off schedule. Yeah, it's like it almost feels like a month where there's no Magic basketball other than like practice images that are going to leak through. You know, the Magic are second in the East. They are tied for second in the East with the Milwaukee Bucks at 14-6. They just matched a franchise high winning streak of 9 games. Everyone was hoping for that 5th game. It was a little unlikely, but they did not get that, and that's okay. They got 9, which is pretty damn impressive if you ask me. Philip, before we like dive into specifics, I kind of just want to get your opinion. We're, you know, 20 games into the season right now. You know, I think that's like roughly 23%.
We're way through the season at halftime.
Yeah, exactly, right? Training camp, your thought, and where we are at today, did your thoughts going into the season of this team match up with 14-6 today?
Definitely not 14-6, especially like looking at that early season schedule. We were all like, you got to win the game against Houston on opening night. Yet you're going out on the road. And like even that 6-game homestand, you're like, you got Toronto, who should be okay. Denver, who's pretty good. Who's, you know, pretty good if you haven't heard. And Boston, who's pretty good too. I think I was expecting them to just hover around 500. And honestly, like when I looked at the schedule and looked at the team, publicly said 42 wins was where I thought, like somewhere between 38 and 44 wins. And I think I publicly said 40 to 42 was where I was landing on. And, you know, just that's just because I expected modest improvements. I expected them to just hover around 500, you know, maybe make a push toward the end of the season after the All-Star break when the schedule, like, seriously lightens up, and then make the play-in tournament that way. I think we can throw all of – and I thought that was optimistic but realistic. I think we could throw that all out the window. Like, this team, you know, I heard them say we're going to be a top-10 defensive team, and I was a little bit skeptical of that. I was just like, okay, you know, maybe they get there, but they'll be on the back end. No, this is a top-5 defense in the league, and pretty consistently so. And, you know, even when their defense wasn't good last week, they're still winning games and beating, you know, beating bad teams with the margin of error that they have. And with the injuries that they have on top of that. This team is legitimately good. Are they top-2 seed in the East good? Probably not. I think a fall is coming. I think they'll go through some ups and downs and some struggles still. But is this team capable of earning a 6 seed and avoiding the play-in entirely? Absolutely. I don't know if there are 5 better teams. I don't know if there are 6 better teams in the East than the Magic. And, you know, even I did this on Orlando Magic Daily today just because on a lark. I decided to kind of like power rank the Eastern Conference All-Stars. Like, both Paolo and Franz easily could make the All-Star team this year. Like, this is a legitimately good basketball team with a legitimate identity. They know how they want to play, and they're executing it more often than not. Even when they don't execute it, they, for the most part, give themselves a chance to win it. And that's all you could ask for. And obviously there's still growth and learning to come, but this season's been beyond, I think, anything that any of us could imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in alignment with you right there. I came into the season thinking we were going to be a 500 basketball team. You know, my prediction of like final record was like 38 to 42, 43, somewhere in there. And that, you know, the whole season we would be like around that 500, you know, record. You know, if I would have said, you know, where we're at 20 games, you know, 9-11, 11-9, you know, 10-10, somewhere around there is kind of what I would have expected. Also considering like how our schedule has been up to this point. But you know, we're a 700 team right now and it's pretty nice. And I didn't expect that. And what's cool is about this run that we're seeing, Philip, in my opinion, is it's sustainable, right? We're not winning because of like abnormally hot shooting from guys that are not abnormally like good shooters. We're not winning because of our offense. And our offense hasn't been horrible to say the least at all. Like, we can get to that in a second, but
in the league.
I know it's kind of nice, but we are like, we're at a spot where it's like defense is easier to sustain in my opinion, and the way we're defending too. And it's like, wow, I think we know enough. We have enough data now. We're 20 games in to know like this team is real. And we're sustaining like this despite not having 2 starters, which, no disrespect to Anthony Black and Goga, who have done very well within certain things. You know, Anthony Black, a little bit up and down. Goga, pretty solidly good most of the time. But, like, there's certain elements of Wendell and Fultz that we've missed. I think we've also learned a little bit more about this team and kind of what they need with their absence. But, like, at the same point, like, hands down, we're a better team with them in the lineup than when they are not in the lineup. And, you know, that we still have the success without them is, like, pretty crazy. And it's like, man, I can't wait to see what we look like when they start coming back in and getting integrated and, you know, coach is able to take certain data that we've learned from now and kind of adjust with them coming back. It's going to be pretty exciting in my opinion. Give me one thing so far this season that you have seen that you have not expected. That could be on court, off court, locker room, whatever you want. Give me like the one surprise that you did not expect.
The one surprise I did not expect. Honestly, it's going to sound weird because I don't think the percentages necessarily reflect it. But Paolo Banchero and Jalen Suggs being reliable 3-point shooters.
I was going to say the same thing. Such good.
Been such a pleasant surprise. And look, the numbers don't back up that the Magic are this great 3-point shooting team. They're still at a deficit with their 3-point shooting, and it's still a need that needs to be addressed. But Paolo Banchero is shooting, what, 42% from 3 right now? Jalen Suggs is at, like, 35. Like, they're both reliable enough. And, you know, maybe defenses aren't quite rotating to them as if they're that reliable. And so, you know, maybe there'll be a cold streak coming for Paolo here. I think he's still very selective. This is not a volume three-point shooting team. Like, I think team strategy is still generally let the Magic shoot threes. Not that we want them shooting open threes, but if they're shooting a ton of threes, that means there's less pressure on the rim, longer rebounds for us to get out in transition. It ultimately benefits teams to let the Magic shoot threes. And the Magic, I think, have been a little tighter on their three-point shooting. Like, they're taking only, I don't know what the exact number is, but like last year they averaged 31 three-point attempts per game. The Magic are right around, if not below, that average this year. So three-point shooting is still a major concern, but like Paolo taking a catch-and-shoot three this year, that's money. That's cash. Like, I don't want him taking like step backs and like pull-up threes. He's not good at those yet. But feet set, catch-and-shoot three, Paolo Banchero's making that, and that's opened up his game tremendously, the same way it's opened up Jalen Suggs to be a lot more consistent as a three-point shooter. Again, I think it's easy because the Magic have had such a strong start to the season and our eyes are getting a little big looking at the playoffs. It's easy to forget that this is still a development year. This is still a year about guys getting better and young players improving, and so we're seeing that, and now we're ready to see them like take another step forward as this team continues to grow.
I agree. I was asking that question. I was thinking, what is my answer going to be? Because as I mentioned before, we started going live. We did not prep for this podcast. We never do when you and I talk. We just have conversations.
Don't tell people that, Steven.
Right? Oh, I shouldn't, but I do. But I was looking at, I was thinking, yeah, like the 3-point shooting from those two specifically is an answer for me. And I was looking it up. Paolo is 44%. Jalen Suggs is 37%. It's like, kind of cool. They'll probably come down to earth a little bit, you know, but like, even if like Paolo landed at like 37% for the year and Jalen like, was at like 35 or 36, like
yeah,
that's sick.
But like, it's amazing. And like, I think this is the important point to make. The difference, you know, and difference, and maybe this is the problem of them coming down to earth is like a Trae Young shoots, he's better this year, but last year is a 32% three-point shooter on like 7-8 attempts. Paolo is shooting 44%. On maybe 4 attempts. So he's going to have nights where he goes 1-for-4. He's going to have a couple, maybe a night where he goes 0-for-4. But he's going to have a night where he goes 2-for-4 or 3-for-5.
Right.
And so he's not taking a ton of these threes. You know, Jalen Suggs is, you know, I don't know how many attempts he's taking. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I can't imagine he's taking more than 5 per game.
He's taking 4 per game, and Paul is taking just over 3.
Yeah. So we're talking about like smaller margins. So yeah, they might come back down to earth, but their game is not predicated on making those three. So those are, you know, that's still a bonus. And again, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's still
4 per game for Jalen. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying 4 per game for Jalen. Sorry. Yeah. I misread that.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's a problem. The Magic still, I think, need a volume shooter or someone who's willing to take, you know, 5-6 threes a game, or to just add to the total, because there's still a 3-point math problem. And we saw that play out a little bit in Saturday's loss to Brooklyn. There's still maybe a little 3-point math problem that maybe pops up in the playoffs. Maybe it doesn't. And that's part of what the season's for. But they're like, what's great about this team, and probably what's just as surprising, is how versatile they are. They could beat you from the three if they need to. They've done that this season. They could beat you in the paint when they need to. They've done that this season. They can beat you in transition when they need to. They've done that this season. They have their principles in the way they need to play, but they can adapt to how you're playing. Like, they went into a track meet with Washington, beat them twice. They went into a slowdown game with Chicago, beat them twice. Those things are impressive for a young team that they, you know, for the most part, they don't get that flustered. If the game calls for them to run, they'll run. If the game calls for them to slow it down, they'll slow it down. If the game calls for threes, they'll make threes. If the game calls for them to dominate the paint, they dominate the paint. That's been the impressive part, is no matter how they win or how the game goes, they have a way to win. And that's been really, really impressive.
For me, something that's been impressive has, and unexpected for me, is really the improvement of Moritz Wagner. He's like, he's so much more efficient this year. And his bag has grown to where, like, last year he kind of, like, if his three-point shot wasn't falling, it kind of felt like he was just kind of a body on the floor, where now it's like, if your three-point shot isn't falling, he's gotten so much more efficient with his finishing at the basket, to where it doesn't matter. It's like he's got other ways to score other than just shooting the three. And it helps that his three is falling big time. And he's still not a great defender, but he's made enough improvements to where it's like he's not as big of a liability and he's not getting attacked as bad as he used to be, where, you know, now it's you know, we can sort of use him in other ways than just taking a charge, which has been really nice. And, you know, he's someone
taking a lot of charges.
And he's still taking a lot of charges.
He's got like 13 already this season.
And he's someone, you know, I was a little iffy on if I wanted back or not on this team. And I've been like proven like, yeah, dude, you're valuable in ways that I didn't expect or didn't see this year. So that'll be my answer to that. Now I'm going to flip the switch. What was something that has been like your biggest disappointment so far, or not your biggest, but what has been one of the disappointing things so far this season for you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the obvious answer is injuries. Yeah. You know, Markelle Fultz being out essentially this whole month, you know, Wendell Carter, you know, breaking the bone in his hand earlier this month. You can't control for injuries and it's disappointing to see because we know how hard Markelle's worked to get back. You know how hard Wendell works, and injuries have just been a constant story. I know I was someone that continually brought it up that, like, hey, the Magic need to be ready. Wendell's going to miss time. It's not his fault. It's not anything recurring. It's just been something that happens. And I know Wendell was really disappointed with that. But I'll stick to a little more granular. I do have to say I think Markelle's play early in the season was really disappointing. Yep. And you know, it's a contract year for him. I know everyone, myself included, are cheering for him. They want this to work. I've been telling people, like, you know, maybe Markelle's not the answer at point guard, but he has earned the opportunity to prove himself and prove whether he is or not. And obviously, this absence is keeping him from doing that. You know, I have no clue how long that knee issue has been bothering him, how much the knee tendonitis has been bothering him. I remember asking Jamal Mosley directly about it. And they said it was something that flared up. I am still really skeptical of that just because we know how good and explosive Markelle was looking at the end of last season. And he did not look anything like the player that he was last season, toward the end of the season especially. He's looked a step slow. You know, the jumper doesn't look like he has the same lift off as jumper. And, you know, teams understood that. They cramped the paint, and obviously Orlando struggled in those first however many games Markelle played. We saw teams just zone them up like crazy, five players in the paint essentially, and it just makes it really hard for the Magic to operate. And it is, you know, now that, you know, this team is maybe developing a little bit faster than we all anticipated, it sure does feel like the decision or question about Markelle is coming to a bigger head and a bigger turning point. And look, it's not like Anthony Black's a great shooter either, so the spacing issue still exists with that starting group. But I think we can more clearly see, like, okay, this is what the Magic need from the position. And we have to ask ourselves whether Markelle can fill that spot or not. And we're at a decision point, I think, with him.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sooner than I think we thought.
I want to pause there for a second just because it's been such a hot topic for Magic fans, and this is not like a agenda pushing thing. It's more so like I want to talk about the offense for a second right now and just ask, like, okay, so when Markel's on the floor, he is kind of more of the primary ball handler. You know, the decision maker is you know, getting to his spots to then allow other people to get to their spots and make smart passes out of that. He's no question, he's really damn good at that. But now we are seeing a situation where the ball moves a little bit more, with it, you know, sometimes being in Paolo's hands to Suggs' hands to Franz's hands. There is definitely some issues and some gaps there, but just different, like, stylistically, what do you think we are learning about this team without having such a heavy primary ball handler in the point guard versus having a situation like Anthony Black can handle the ball a little bit, but he's definitely got a long ways to grow there. Like, he's where Anthony Black has done well for this team is on the defensive side, and offensively he's like not been like a negative there, but he's not he's not bringing anything really positive there either, right?
He does a good Harkless cut,
right?
And for those that don't know what a Harkless cut is, Mo Harkless's rookie year, he was just like Anthony Black, not a great shooter, didn't really know what to do with him, but they had to play him. They stuck him in the corner, just kind of let him hang there. When the defense like crept in or stopped looking, he would cut back door along the baseline against them. I've called that a Harkless cut ever since.
It's great.
I love Mo Harkless. love that dude. I call that a Harkless cut because that's kind of where it comes from for me. The Magic have been killing teams with that baseline cut, by the way. Watch it when teams zone them. They love running Anthony Black along that baseline. They love running Jalen Suggs along that baseline. That's a big staple of the Magic offense right now. But it's very much a, like, let's keep him out of the way. Let's chase him out as much as we can. He's hit enough of those corner threes that you can't completely ignore him, which has been a nice development too. But to your question, though, the big thing, and I think the big buzzword with this Magic team has always been versatility. And I think when a lot of people think of versatility, they think of positional versatility. This guy can play the three or the four. This guy can defend, you know, one through five. Like, that's what they think about. I am increasingly believing that when the Magic talk about versatility, yes, they're talking about size. They're also talking about skill versatility.
Sure.
They want forwards who can play point guard. They essentially want everyone to be able to play every position. And, you know, maybe center gets exempt from that a little bit, but you look at the Magic now and you look at the way that the Magic play, how often do you see Paolo Banchero bringing the ball up the court and initiating offense? How often do you see Franz Wagner bringing the ball up the court, initiating offense? You look at that starting lineup right now, Anthony Black, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, all four of them can theoretically bring the ball up the floor, initiate offense and get this team going into the right sets or into the right places or into the right spots. You know, obviously Markelle Fultz can do that, but the question I think with Markelle is, okay, he could do that, but can he be a floor spacer? Can he, you know, stand in the corner and be a shooter, be a cutter? And yeah, he can do that a little bit too.
He's a good cutter.
Yeah, he's a good cutter, but this is what the Magic are aiming for. Like, the one thing that's happened because maybe Markel's out a little bit, is Paolo Banchero's had more space to be a little bit more of a playmaker. And yeah, he's turning the ball over still. It's like 3 point something turnovers per game. But he's averaging almost four and a half assists per game.
He's kind of got to go through that. This is like healthy development for him there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think early in the season, like, I made this point a lot, and this is honestly a Magic problem in general, is they tend to overpass. Like, everyone's so unselfish and trying to make the right plays, they will overpass before they shoot too much, you know, except for Franz. Franz is trying to shoot too much, and sometimes you got to reel him back, but not so much lately, but sometimes you do. Paolo's problem this year has been he's been trying to overpass, but he's still making these great passes, these great reads. He's learning how to read defenses. I don't know if that happens as quickly or develops as quickly as it's developed if Markel's in there. And again, that's not a knock on Markel. We love Markel. I think he still makes this team a better team by giving them another playmaker, another passer. I think one thing that's been missing this year from Paolo's diet is he hasn't gotten the same kind of mid-post looks that he got last year. And that's a lot of, you know, get Markel finding, feeding him the ball in that spot. Because Paolo's had to be on the ball a lot more, his shot diet's just a little bit different. I think there's still, it's not, again, Markel adds to this team. He doesn't necessarily take away from it, but you can kind of see the vision of what the Magic are going for. It's everybody can play every position. There, at least offensively, there is no spot where anyone is weak, or not necessarily weak, or one, no spot that anyone can't play. You need Paolo on the block, Paolo can be on the block. You need him bringing the ball up, he can bring the ball up. You need him to play make, he can play make. You need him to score, he can score. That's what they're going for. And so when I look at this roster, I think, okay, how do the Magic find more players like that, especially from a point guard position that, you know, considering Jalen Suggs still considered a non-shooter despite the percentages we mentioned. Paolo is considered a non-shooter despite the percentages. Franz is really the only shooter in that lineup. It feels like the Magic need more. Excuse me for the sneeze.
Bless you. You're good.
Thank you.
I'll edit that out.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you were carrying on there.
I got to the end there. I held on.
Cool. It is interesting, man. I like Markel Fultz. He's a good basketball player. He adds to this team, but it's just like when I see Paolo and Franz, all I think about is how do we optimize them, right? That is my agenda for this Magic team. It's not anything else. How do I optimize Paolo and Franz? And like what I think about that is I need guys that they can pass to that can hit open shots. That's like the main thing, right? And then it's like, cool, you know, you were sort of alluding to it about, you know, multiple ball handlers that can bring up the thing. And I think about, well, you're probably not going to get a volume shooter from the center position, right? Brooke Lopez is not walking through this door and he's getting older. You know, we're probably not going to trade for Karl Anthony Towns, right? So then it's like, you got to look at the guards.
So it's probably not trading him at this point.
Exactly that too, right? You know, and so then it's like, you got to look at the guards and it's like, at this point, in my opinion, like Suggs is the more valuable player to this team, right? And what he's bringing. And I think that was not the definite answer this offseason and something we learned really fast, because Suggs' ascension to like where he's at now has just been so fun and so incredible to watch. My goodness, that has been a blast to watch him on the court. You know, just his success with his shot, his energy with the crowd, Mike. How much fun is it to watch, like,
he's the heart of this
just drive this thing, you know?
Honestly, I know that loss to Brooklyn is fresh in our minds, and there are a lot of problems in that loss. But sure. Like, the reason why that game got out of hand is because Jalen Suggs was in foul trouble, and he was sitting on the bench for a good chunk of that game, especially in the second half.
He's so fun. Really,
like, put the screws on. He is the heart of this team. Like, early in the season when the Magic were struggling to shoot and everyone was like saying, "What, we can't score early in games." So I was just like, that doesn't matter. What the Magic want to do in those first 6 minutes is establish their game defensively. And Jalen Suggs makes that defense work.
Yes, he does.
You know, whoever he's guarding isn't scoring that night. Like, plain and simple. Whatever points they get, they're working their butts off for. And he's like playing passing lanes. He's just all over the place. And he lifts everyone's energy up. Like, he's literally Daryl Armstrong, like, frankly, with more talent. Like, love Daryl.
I don't think that's an offensive comment.
He's an elite athlete, an elite talent who plays like he's played in the CBA for 15 years.
Right. Yeah. It's been incredible. I mean, if he stays healthy and doesn't make a defensive team, assuming he stays at this level, then something's wrong with the NBA because he's killing it. And then you go to a game. I was lucky enough. I was home a couple weeks ago for my dad's birthday, just before Thanksgiving. I went to the Raptors game when they were in town, and you just see how he pumps up this crowd and how he plays to the crowd, which is like, I don't think you get enough of that in this sport. And particularly not in this, not in the, with the Magic. And it is just great to have. And it's fun because it kind of pisses off other fans. And then like,
there's, you know, there's nothing like, honestly, like there's nothing more exciting. And you forget this because it happens once and it's a fleeting, yeah. It's a fleeting little moment. There's nothing more exciting than a young team that has never won, who is figuring out and winning for the first time.
Yes.
Like literally, like it's a small window where this exists. And like we saw it in 93 with Shaq, and it was just like, oh, this is like fun, like going to a game and expecting to win every night and having a superstar player that's just doing stuff all over the place. You know, it happened with, you know, probably the 07 Magic, although that was a 40-42 team, but like certainly the 08 Magic when they were just like taking the league by storm and shooting a ton of threes and like, and winning a bunch of games. It was just like, oh, like this crazy idea they had is actually working. And it's, and now we win every game. That's what's happening in Orlando right now. Like this is a group that has never won before. Like, you know, Cole Anthony kind of joked about it today at practice, was like, you know, I, for what limited experience I have in this league, I have lost a lot. Winning is really fun. It's sure. Really, really fun. These guys like have been through the muck. They've been through the dirt. They appreciate how hard it is to do what they're doing and do it every night. And, you know, they're learning how to do it every night still, but they're not taking these moments for granted. It's not for sure that they will win. They know that. They've lived that. And so they are enjoying every single moment of it. And certainly this fan base is too. It's like just this release of tension from a decade of being irrelevant. Like we all feel this is something very, very real. And so we're going to enjoy the moment a little bit while before we have to get really serious about like, okay, like the regular season's fun and all, but it's about the playoffs. This is just pro forma now.
This team has, you know, we've been talking about it for 20 something minutes now, almost 30 minutes about how they've just like outperformed our expectations. They've leveled up in this way. You know, we had one segment about like our disappointments with the team so far, but we're a quarter of the way through the season. It's that kind of like gut check time on let's reevaluate how we kind of see this team. And from, you know, the coming into the season and sort of like things that I have changed is like, you know, I don't ever say this is the win. This is kind of like, this is the win window I think this team can reach. And I'm like, cool, we're no longer in that like 38-42 range. It's more like I expect them to win around like 42 to like 47. Somewhere in that window is like where I've shifted my adjustments. And that's just like, they'll hit, I think they hit like 45 if they just play 500 the rest of the time or something like that, right? It's like, They'd have to go on a major
league. Like, having said that, if they go 500 the rest of the way, with the way they've started, with what they've shown us, like, not that it would be disappointing, but we wouldn't. I don't think we would consider that a success anymore. Like,
yeah, I mean,
not that this team should win 50 games. Like a 45-win season would be incredible.
I think. So okay, like, let me flip that. You know, let's. Okay. What is your adjusted expectation for this team as far as win totals?
I mean, I think 45 is the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I like, honestly, like I don't necessarily think of it as a win total because like,
or like
a
range.
Win total isn't important. It's where they finish in the standings.
Sure.
It's a race and you know, they're in the Peloton. They're in the pack. I'm more concerned about where they finish within that pack because that's what creates your playoff matchup. That creates your ability to go where it really matters.
And that's where I was leading next, yeah. To be honest. So, yeah. But
so, like, look, like, the next 6 weeks are really difficult.
Yeah.
I think we look at the schedule for the next 6 weeks and we say if they're 500 after these 6 weeks, and that probably includes reintegrating Wendell Carter and Marco Fultz back, which is going to take some time as well. If they go 500 in that stretch, they'll probably fall back a little bit in the standings. Like, I think Miami's going to make a run here at some point. Indiana's going to figure some things out. You know, Brooklyn's going to figure some things out. Atlanta's probably going to figure some things out. What this team has to do again, you know, they had this nice run to stake themselves a little bit of a lead and get out in front of the pack a little bit. There has to be another stretch at some point this season, and it's probably going to be later in the season after the All-Star break because the schedule is like really favorable after the All-Star break. They're going to have another stretch where they win like 10 of 13 games. Right? Yeah. Now they have another, not another nine game win streak, because that's really hard to do. But they have to have another stretch where they just like out and out dominate another near quarter of the season. And if they do that, that will put them probably in a fight for home court advantage. And I think like that would be a dream, to be fighting for home court advantage in the first round. I think that would be like kind of this high pie in the sky dream for this team.
Sure.
The reality is my goal has shifted from, I predicted this team would finish, I think, ninth in the East and be in a play-in tournament, host a play-in tournament game. The goal is now to avoid the play-in entirely.
Yeah.
The goal has to be, we're making the playoffs proper. No, none of this play-in stuff, none of this single elimination stuff, none of this, you know, double elimination stuff. We are playing a best of 4 out of 7 series in April. And I think that has to be the only goal that matters right now.
And that's where I've adjusted to as well, right? I was like going into the season, you know, in that, you know, 38 to 42 wins, you know, play-in is the floor and play-in's also probably the ceiling. Maybe they could sneak into a 6 seed. Now it's, you know, anything less than 6 is a disappointment. And really, I'm hoping it's a 4-5 race and not a 5-6 race, you know, for this team. And can they sustain? Because,
or a 6-7 race. Like,
yeah.
But
six,
again, like
that, like, I mean, but a 6-7 race would be a disappointment for me too. I want them to complete. I don't even want this plan to be a sniff for them.
Threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, having said all that, and I know I get myself into trouble saying stuff like this, but like, all of these experiences are ultimately good.
Totally.
Like they're like the season, like I say this a lot. You could define success as one thing, but not reaching that success doesn't necessarily mean the season's a failure.
Yeah.
Like a failure would be you get off to this hot start and you have what happened in 2015 or 2016. You got out to a 19-13 start. You were fourth place in the East in January, and you didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That can't happen. Like, if that happens, we got problems at this point. If this team goes 500 the rest of the way, they're 45 wins, that still probably gets them the 6th seed. Yeah, you're like, okay, we showed we could do something more, but we still got the job done. So now we know, okay, maybe we need a little bit more than what we have to get where we want. Where we're sitting at right now is like, oh, the Magic have a lot already, and they just need one or two things to get over the hump, or they need – you know, Paolo and Franz, like the big thing that I've been telling people is like, you know, look, I want the Magic to get into a playoff series. And if they get their butts kicked in a playoff series, not the end of the world, because it tells you exactly what you need. You need to be in a playoff series. You need to be in a best of 7 series so that all of your weaknesses can get picked apart. I can sit down and list all those things that went wrong and say, okay, is this something that we can fix internally? Or is this something that we have to fix externally? So like, you know, Dwight Howard had a terrible first playoff series against Detroit. The average, like, I think it was 14-9 or something like that. Magic got swept. The Magic were concerned about Dwight's play in the playoffs because it was his first time. He was playing the Pistons with Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
He learned a lot. He got, like, that's something you could fix. Like, I fully, yeah, Nikola Vucevic's first playoff series was awful, and people were criticizing the heck out of him. And yeah, there was probably more questions then about whether he could step his game up in the playoffs, you know, whether, you know, this was kind of the ceiling for him and the team. Came back in 2020 against Milwaukee and had a fantastic playoff series in the bubble.
Totally.
It takes guys a little bit to learn what a playoff series is. And so this team's going to go through that this season. They could be the 4 seed going up against the Knicks or going up against the Cavs and probably not be the favorites to win that series. And that's okay, because they have to learn. Cleveland's been through the playoffs. They know what they're doing. New York's been through the playoffs. They know what they're doing. Orlando doesn't know. And so we just got to get there so that they can learn that.
The only players that have ever played a playoff game on this team are Gary Harris, who
there's
played, you know, he's there's a few. Yeah.
There's four.
Okay. There's Gary Harris. Joe Ingles, both of those players did not do any of that with the Magic. Gary Harris, and, you know,
he had a couple, I think 2 years with Denver that they made the playoffs. And then obviously Joe Ingles, I think, has made the playoffs every year he's been in the league. Maybe that first year or two with the Jazz were not there, but he's had,
did the Portland team make the playoffs? They might have. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. But he was
technically on the team,
but I mean, loads of playoff experience, multiple, second round, performances and stuff like that. He's really good. You know, he's got a lot of experience. Then you have Jonathan Isaac versus the Raptors. And he had an okay playoff run, but that's kind of like, I mean, he's got so other little on-court experience to this state. Not that he is a bad basketball player.
He's
but
a veteran, but he isn't.
Hasn't played a lot, And then you have Markelle Fultz, who played in the bubble and had a pretty bad playoff experience in the bubble, to be quite honest. And again, just another player that hasn't. Oh, I guess he did have that too. True, yeah.
Played some garbage time for the Sixers.
I mean, you have those two guys that have played in the playoffs but don't have a lot of playing experience in general, right? With the NBA. So it's like this team's young. This season is, like you said, it's a development season, but the development is at a much higher level. It's like get to the playoffs or, 2 months ago, get to the play-in and learn how to play high-pressure games after the regular season ends, right? And we're going to figure out what holes we have in the regular season, and we'll figure out if those translate or if there's even more holes you got to figure out for the playoffs. But even if it's not like roster holes, it's like players just understanding the mentality of how they have to go into this team or into these situations and stuff like that, and getting that taste so they want to get there even more the following year. Which brings me to my next point my thought question as we start to transition this wrap up this podcast is, motherfucking Grandpa Joe Ingles, man, that dude is the best. I see, we have this second unit team that is like one of the best second units in the entire NBA. You look at second unit scores, like the top 20 lists that are on there, and Cole and Moritz Wagner on there, like every single time, they're just crushing it. And then you look at Joe Ingles, who took him a moment to find his shot, but from day one was pretty integrated to like making this team better. They, with his floor spacing, just the way he kind of like controls the second unit, just being that secondary ball handler, that on court coach. Talk about his impact on this team. Talk about how vital he is to this team.
I mean,
off the court.
My joke with everybody right now is, if there's a problem with the Magic lineup, just put Joe Ingles in.
Yeah,
and it'll fix it. Like it's really that simple. His shot making, his shooting, still has a ton of respect. But I think I wasn't, I've been surprised by how good it's been, but I was not surprised that he had the skill. His passing has been incredible.
It's insane.
I knew he was a good passer, but I did not realize he was this good, where he's just, dropping, kind of got that old man YMCA speed, but still just dropping dimes to people. And like, if you give him a hole, if you cut to the basket, he is going to put the ball on target to you. And you cannot stress how important that is, and how big that is for him and a player like him. He just calms everyone down. He doesn't make mistakes. Like, again, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't make bad decisions. He has a few turnovers here and there. I don't want to say he doesn't ever make bad decisions, but he doesn't make mistakes. And this team needs that, and especially that second unit. Him being able to play some point, him being able to initiate offense, allows Cole to play off the ball, and that gets him in the paint a lot more, where he is really good. He's got that nice, Cole's got this nice little short floater down pretty pat, and kind of stop, turn around, fade away down pretty pat. Allows Cole to attack the glass a lot more, because he's not at the top of the key having to get back and be the get back guy. He just, Joe just makes everything work. There's really no other way to describe it. And you watch it and you know it, and you see it, how he does that. And because he's a veteran, he has everyone's ear, everybody's listening to him, and everyone understands the place that he's coming from. And he's fit right in culturally and personality wise, even with the age difference. It's like, again, if you want to fix the Magic lineup, put Joe Ingles in. Like, it seriously, like, when the Magic were kind of struggling a little bit early on with Anthony Black as a starter, I was like, you know, I hear everyone wanting to change the lineup a little bit. Honestly, what I'd do is I'd take Black out and put Ingles in. Like, Ingles can run point a little bit. He can spread the floor at the shot. You know, Jalen Suggs brings the ball up, gives it to Joe Ingles. You start your offense. Like, it works. And that's why I think Joe Ingles is the first man in for a lot of these games.
He has played 50 playoff games, 45 with the Utah Jazz, starting in 2016. And he played, you know, 5 last year with Milwaukee Bucks. And he got, he played in every game with the Milwaukee last year. So 50 games total, you know, and that's a guy like that came into the league at 27 because he, you know, he played professionally overseas and stuff like that for a while. You know, one thing I like about him is, like, obviously you talked about a lot of on-court stuff, but it's like, man, you also see him like basically calling, like he's verbalizing everything that he's seeing, and he's seen a lot. And that, I think that's what's allowed people to be so settled when he's in the lineup, is that he's just vocalizing what he's seeing. And also, like, man, him and Mo Wagner have like the most ridiculous connection ever. Like, they have, I think, more, I don't remember that. I saw some stat online somewhere, but it's like
the pick and roll is insane. The Mojo pick and roll is very good.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's funny that you said, you know, YMCA. My friend, shout out CJ, he calls him YMCA Joe. So, yeah, I just wanted to give a little love there because he was someone that, you know, took a little bit of while for Magic fans to kind of understand
when they signed him. Yeah,
they didn't understand why he signed him.
Like, the money was a lot. Like, they overpaid to get him. Like, there's no doubt about it. The money is good.
Got to overpay everyone in this city, to be honest.
And in this situation where you're still proving yourself, like, no one's clamoring to play for you until you prove yourself. But like, I always tell people, like, he's a better defender than you think he is. His defense is probably left a little bit to be wanting, and that's probably what he's degraded the most. But like, yeah, he's a great shooter, and that shooting's gonna be how we judge him. But he can pass the ball. He's going to move it. He is a really good player. And if there's any gas left in the tank, and it looks like there's plenty, he's going to really boost this team a lot.
And, you know, just for the record, you know, he's shooting 39% from three now for the season, you know, despite his poor start, he's doing just fine. So, you know, it takes people to adjust to new roles and new teams and kind of getting their rhythm. Phil, this season has been a lot of fun. We are, you know, we're a quarter of the way in. We got this weird kind of scheduling with some weird off time these next couple of weeks. But, you know, it's been a fun start to the year. I can't believe it's already been a quarter of the season, to be honest. It's gone by fast. I'm like, does this really have to end? I hope not. Let's play into June.
Every year, man.
Let's play into June, please. Yeah. I want to shout you out, man, because you are you've been covering this team a really long time, you know, with Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic. But you've also started a Patreon program, which is, you know, $5 a month. I've been a subscriber of it for a while. And I have to say, for the listeners that have not checked it out yet, like, check it out. Give it 1 month. Try $5 because, and if you don't like it, then stop, right? But you'll like it because, in my opinion, it's one of the more educational Patreons that you're going to join. More subscribers. You're not just going to get, like, you get the game recaps and you get some player breakdowns, but you also get, like, you know, there's talks about, you know, certain on-court play stuff that we see or that Phillip sees and different things. And it's just like, it's how I learn a lot about this team and what I'm seeing, and, you know, or backing up what I'm seeing is through a lot of what Phil's writing is doing. And it's definitely value. I'll admit that he is the most consistent with it. So, he definitely takes it the most serious out of all the Patreon programs out there. So just wanted to shout that out. Phillip, I'm going to pass it over to you, man, to one, tell about your Patreon program and any other ways that you want people to find your work as well.
Yeah. So the Patreon page is patreon.com/OrlandoMagicHub. It's Orlando Magic Hub. I think there's a link to it on my Twitter account @PhillipRR_OMD. And basically what I'm trying to do with it is just give you an extra layer of Magic content and Magic information. You know, I'm at every practice, so you get like a full practice report, like almost an extra article from practice, as well as other notes that everyone's saying. You know, I'm trying to take some video. Like Stephen said, I do some play breakdowns and some thing and point out some things that I'm noticing in games a little bit more. So I do some video breakdown content there. You know, I'm trying to grow the community a little bit. So I am very open to any and all ideas. If you know me and you know my coverage, you know, Orlando Magic Daily, Locked On Magic will always be free. There's always plenty of content there. This is just giving you a little bit of extra. And obviously, again, like I have my ideas of what I want to do with it. And I hope everyone's enjoying it. I'm glad Steven's enjoying it at the very least. But if you have any ideas for what you want to see, you know, again, I'm here for you guys. Like I've always said that I am here for Magic fans everywhere. So tell me what you want and I will do my best to create it. I want to give you value if you're choosing to support me. On top of this, I am hoping to take some road trips later on in the season. I'm almost certainly going to Miami. I am already beginning to plan and somewhat budget for playoff trips as well. So I'm hoping to travel with the team during the postseason at the very least. So, you know, I know there's a lot of complaints and it's no one's fault except, you know, it's no one's fault except for the people with money. You know, complaints about how little Magic coverage there is, especially when they're on the road. You know, unfortunately, we need to be supported in order to be able to take these road trips and be able to travel to everywhere the Magic go. And so, unfortunately, you know, we do have to ask sometimes for support. So I truly appreciate any support that I can get. You know, I'm here for you guys. So please tell me what you want for your $5. You know, and I'm happy to try and provide and you know, I'm doing this full time right now. So I want to make sure I'm providing the best possible Magic coverage that I can and that the best possible Magic coverage that Magic fans deserve. Like I said, OrlandoMagicDaily.com will always be free, as will Locked On Magic. You can find the majority of my writing there. Orlando Magic Hub is something on top of that. So I truly appreciate Steven's support, of course. I truly appreciate everyone's support who chooses to support me. And if you don't, no worries. There's plenty of places to read me and interact with me with the Magic. I am just trying to take another, you know, get going to another level as well for those that choose to go to that next level.
Well, Philip, thank you again for joining me on the show today. I'm sure we will be connecting again later this season.
Absolutely.
We'll also connect next time I'm in town for a Magic game. And listeners of the show, thanks for tuning in. This is another episode of The Close Up, part of the Orlando Magic HQ network. And yeah, peace out. Let's go, Matt.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.